reading from Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, and it's going to be a Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday. You know how much I love Testimony Tuesdays. We'll have the privilege of having a special guest in the studio on this Wednesday, July 5th. In fact, I met him at the Hills Celebration last Saturday in Champaign. Our good friend Shanna McGuire had talked about, I had her interviewed last week about a special event where she wanted to help bring healing and hope to the community. And Pastor Deon Hunt was a keynote speaker, and I was so moved and encouraged and blessed. He covered a number of topics, but talked about the importance of the church being community engaged. And so I want to really step back and let him introduce himself and sharing a little of his testimony, but I want him talking about community engagement, because I think it's so important for all of us to take to heart. And I know many of you pastors that are tuned in, or church deacons or leaders or elders, this might be something that when you sit in your church, you can talk about, because I think he can help move us all forward on really being the church that God desires. And then I'm going to have him also talk about the three voices. He gave an illustration, some examples of the importance of us hearing from God, hearing from the community, and then being that voice in the community. So Pastor Deon Hunt, I know you serve at Saukaw The Center in Chicago. You were down for the special engagement, and you know Shanna, but how about introducing yourself and sharing a little of your testimony?
Absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Pastor Deon Hunt. I pastor a church right outside Chicago, Illinois. We're currently located in Lansing, Illinois, and we are Saukaw The Center of Chicago. Reason being, because we also have a ministry in Elkhart, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And so I've been pastoring both places for the last couple of years now. But I've been pastoring in total for about 20 years, and I'm loving it. And a little bit about my testimony. First of all, I count it an honor and a privilege to be used, available and used by God, that, you know, there is something in the earth, or there is something in a particular community that he would want to manifest or transpire, and that he would use me or us as his hand in the earth. And so that's kind of how I see ministry. But my testimony that I gave at the event with Prophet Shanna, I recall back maybe about, it was 2011, so maybe about 12 years ago, God gave us as the ministry the awesome responsibility of doing ministry in the Roseland community, which is a subset community in Chicago, far south side of Chicago. And just even preparing for the event that Shana did, God began to deal with me about the importance of the local church and the community church, and about how, you know, a lot of times, especially in this day and age, when a day and age of social media and everybody's, if not famous, trying to be famous or known, that, you know, the mega church may not be your thing, you know, and that just because you're not a part of a mega church, it doesn't mean that you're not a part of God's significant church. Mm-hmm. Because a community church and a neighborhood church really is a grassroots organization type thing, where it really brings the help and resources and vitality back to the community. And so about 2011, it was about maybe 6 months before I went into full-time ministry. We purchased a building in the Roseland community, and we were excited. Mm-hmm. We were extremely excited, and we knew we wanted to do ministry, because we've always been a ministry that did ministry. You know, I'm blessed to have a congregation that has a heart and a mind for the poor. We've always serviced the poor and the needy and the downtrodden and the rejected of society. And so being in that community, we knew we were going to work. And if you know anything about Roseland, Roseland used to be very vibrant. It used to be very, it was hopping, as they say. It was just a lot of things going on back in the 70s, 60s and 70s. But then it began to be stripped, we believe systemically, you know, stripped from its vitality, its economic vitality. And so it became an impoverished community. And so we came into that community. I don't think we knew exactly how much ministry was going to be required out of us, but we were ready to do what we felt we knew we were going to do. Well, about 2 months in, 2 months into the summer months, the summer of 2011, we were beginning our 21-day and night fast. And I believe that no church is going to survive without prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is something that we did every year, 21 days and nights of prayer and fasting, and we would literally shut in the church. And one of the things that we had on our agenda is prayer for the community that we were in. We feel like God put you in a community, then that's your assignment. That's your assigned territory. And so that particular afternoon, we started that Sunday morning. That particular afternoon, in between services, because we had a Sunday morning and the Sunday night service, I was outside of the church that Sunday afternoon, kind of flipping through my phone, returning text messages and phone calls. And that afternoon, you know, the sun was still out and the weather was still nice. There was a lot of activity on the corner. The kids were out playing in their front yards, teenagers riding up and down the block on their bikes, just a vibrant, lively afternoon in the community. All of a sudden, the corner got quiet. All of a sudden. And I only know this thinking back. It didn't hit me in time. But the corner got quiet and I turned around and everybody's gone. Everybody's gone except these two young men on bikes in their early 20s, and they were pointing a gun at me. I didn't see the gun right off. I was looking into their eyes, and they were demanding my belongings. They reached for my phone, and we began to struggle and tussle over my phone. I was kind of fighting both of them off until I saw the gun. When I saw the gun, naturally, of course, I released my phone and kind of stepped back. And they began to ask me for my wallet. Thank God I didn't have my wallet on me. But after they realized that there was nothing else they can get from me, one of the young men said, okay, I want you to turn around and count backwards by five. Now, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to give you my back. And looking back on it, you know, I was asked several times by family members, even from some of the, you know, congregations and members of the church, why were you defiant? It was not a moment of bravery for me. But for me, I was trying to think on my feet and be smart because I said to myself, I'm not going to turn my back on this young man and make it easy for him to pull the trigger. I want him to look me in the eyes and I want him to see my face and make it difficult for him. I began to remind him, okay, I pastor this church. I'm here in this community to help. You know, don't do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. The young man that was with him was in his ear and kept telling him, hurry up and shoot. Hurry up and shoot him. We're supposed to shoot him. I heard him plainly say, we are supposed to shoot him. Hurry up and shoot him so we can go. And I said, I'm not turning around. And of course, my whole life flashed before my eyes. You know, my wife and my children, who I love dearly, were in the building. I had other family members that had came to support that Sunday. And I kept thinking within my heart, God, I don't want to die outside of this church building with my family literally feet away and they don't know what's going on. And so I'm praying this inwardly. And so by the grace of God, long story short, they turned off and they rolled off kind of into the sunset. They just rolled off. And that happened within a span of about 60 to 90 seconds, mm-hmm. from what I can remember. And long story short, we called the police and they sent the detective who was a part of the gang unit in that area. And I told him how everything went down and he informed me, okay, I work these streets. I work this community. I work the gang unit. He said, if one of them said that he was supposed to shoot you, believe that he was supposed to shoot, mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. He said, this is a gang initiation. I've seen it, worked this community. It's happened before. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that you did, it was the right thing to do. And I told him, I said, whatever I did, it was God. Mm-hmm. And I give all glory to him. That was the first day of the fast. First day of the fast.
And the church was relatively new because you had been doing remodeling, construction,
Absolutely. It was relatively new. We were doing things. We were painting. We were fixing on the roof. Literally, we were doing that. But we hadn't made our presence known yet in the community. And so for all they knew, this was a continuation of the previous tenants that owned the building. And so that event made it very difficult for me. It was a hard 21 days and nights of prayer and fasting for me because I struggled through so many things in my heart. I struggled with anger, resentment. There were feelings of betrayal and fear, but it really put something in my heart that I had to work through. And because we were shutting in the building, we were in constant contact with the community, just going in and out of the facility. And so I would see young men, any young man that came close to me that reminded me of those two young men, I would feel anger. I would feel not so much fear in that moment, but more so anger and resentment. And God began to deal with me. He began to deal with me in depth. And because I was praying and fasting, he could deal with me. And he began to tell me, you cannot be the help that this community needs with that in your heart. But one of the things that he told me that I didn't bring out in the event with Shana is that God also told me that I needed for this to happen to you so that you can see the condition of this community, so that you can really see how bad it is. So I needed you to have this experience. But you cannot help them without healing taking place. And that hurt, that resentment, that pain, that anger has to be resolved because I brought you here to help them. And so the next 11 to 12 days.
And that was about in the middle of your fast.
Yes, sir. Middle of the fast. And so the next, 11, 12 days, I knew I had some work to do. I had some inner work to do. And I began to ask God to heal me from unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, resentment, and just do a work in me. And he did the work. He did the work because on the 21st day, which is the last day of the fast, I get a phone call from that detective saying that we caught him. We found him. We found him. And we really just need you to come in and identify him. There have been some other complaints in the community, but no one was willing to come forth. Will you come forth and identify this young man so that we can put him away? And so I went, and as soon as I saw him, as soon as I saw the lineup, I knew exactly who he was. I identified him, and I thought that was that. But God put it on my heart to continue to pray for him, even that after he was arrested. There were some initial hearings, arraignments, or whatever, and he was looking at 5 years. 5 years. Armed robbery is a very serious thing. And so 21 years old, looking at 5 years, and even after I found that out, I continued to pray for him. But I believe that God wanted me doing that because ultimately there was something that he would have me do for this young man. Fast forward a couple of months, I get a letter that came to the church. Matter of fact, his girlfriend delivered the letter to the church on a Sunday afternoon, gave it to the secretary, and she gave it to me, and I read it. And this young man was very just apologetic and had a sorrowful heart and just totally regretted what he did. And then he also informed me of some things that was happening to him while he was in the county jail because the inmates found out that he had stuck up a pastor. They don't take that lightly. You know, if anybody is here to help us, it's pastors. And so he was kind of, at the bottom of the barrel type thing in the county, and it had turned violent against him, and he let me know. And so because of where I was in prayer concerning him, God led me to go to the prosecutor, and I dropped the charges. I dropped the charges, and they asked me why, and I said, well, it only took 60 to 90 seconds to do what this young man did. I would hate for him to lose 5 years of his life for a 90-second mistake, which I know he regrets. And so, long story short, he was released. And about a year or so later, year and a half later, there was another death in the community. A young man, 16 years old, He was a part of a gang, got caught up, and he was murdered. A young man who I had seen come to some of our community events. And let me just backtrack a little bit, because after that happened to that young man and he was released, we went to work in the community. We went to work because I saw the need. I saw the condition of the young people. And we went to work. Whatever resources we could bring, we brought. Whatever need we felt like needed to be met, we were a conduit to meeting that need. If they were hungry, we fed the children. We had a summer program, a summer food program. We called the Genius, the so-called Genius program, where we taught them life skills. We fed them breakfast and lunch, and we just, you know, we gave them a safe haven for the summer months. Mm-hmm. We did a job readiness program. We did food pantries, soup kitchens, anything we can think of to stay busy, letting the community know we're here for you. And we gained their trust. And so one of the things that we began to do is when there was a death in the community, especially if it was due to violence, we opened the doors for them to have the funeral there. We didn't charge them. I didn't have to do the funeral, but if you need a place to do it, you can do it here. Mm-hmm. And so this young man, this 16-year-old boy, he's murdered, and the church, the capacity of the church was about 250. It was standing room only. We were stuffed in there like sardines almost. And the line was down the stairs and out the door, and in the street there was a good 250 to 300 young people. That morning, as we're setting up, the police in that district found out where this young man, because he was known, where this young man's funeral was being held. They came, he met me, one of the detectives met me at the church that early morning. I didn't even know he was coming. When I got there, he was there. He said, if you don't mind, I would like to have the gang unit here because I don't know if you know what you signed up for. There is going to be countless people here, and there were going to be rival gang members here. Our church was on a dividing line of two rival gangs. And sure enough, it was just as he said. But thank God the police presence was there.
Yeah, they set up a perimeter or something?
Yes, they set up a perimeter right down the street, and they were just watchful, you know, nothing, no kind of brutality or anything like that, just watchful. And I saw the young man out in the street, and he was amongst some of his friends. You know, sometimes when young men, you know how we are when we're around our friends, you know, the testosterone is, you know, and we feed off of one another. So if one is acting tough, then we got to act tough. And that's the kind of energy that he was given. But when he saw me and our eyes locked, he immediately humbled himself. Mm-hmm. I saw him just humble himself. And it let me know that his words of being repentant and sorrowful, that they were sincere. Because I saw the look in his eyes. And I wasn't able to get to him then because there was so much going on. But after the event was over and we were breaking down, right before I left the facility, I saw him walking down the street. I saw him out my side view mirror. And I got out of my car. And as soon as he saw me, he just opened his arms and almost ran, kind of trotted, you know, in a little cool kind of way. But almost ran into my, and he threw his arms around me and just began to thank me for what I had done for him. And he said, I know I didn't deserve this. He said, but because of what you did, he said, it put hope in my heart concerning my future because I see that you took a chance on me. And he said, I know it doesn't look like I've made many changes. He said, but I have. I haven't come through the doors, but I'm making changes because you gave me hope. And I've kind of pulled back from that life. He said, so I just want you to know that what you did that day, even though you may not see me in the building, what you did that day mattered. And it put something deeper in my heart that what we do in our communities matter. That even though we may not be the mega church. Mm-hmm. We may not be the church where all the wealth, where the celebrities go, where all the money is. You know, we can take a check out and do whatever it is that we want to do in any given moment. We may not be that church, but we're the church that connects to people and to communities. And we literally breathe life into communities that are downtrodden. And so I just want to encourage the pastors, the ministries that are in communities and that are in neighborhoods to serve the community, serve the people. You know, I said this when we were at Shana's. I said, when we're in a community, the crime rate should go down.
Mm-hmm. When the church is being the church.
When the church is being the church, when the church is functioning by design, when the church is doing what they're supposed to do, not coming behind four walls and just entertaining ourselves, but seeing a need in the community and doing what we're supposed to do in the community, the crime rate should go down, the murder rate should go down, drug statistics should go down. All these things that are pulling away from the vitality of the community and neighborhood, all those negative things should go down. And if they are not, if you are not affecting those numbers, then we as ministry gifts, as pastors, as leaders, we need to go back to the drawing board and come up with a strategy that really feeds and ministers to the needs of the people in the community that we have been placed there to serve.
In case you just tuned in or missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. With me is Pastor Dion Hunt. He serves at SawCall, the center in Chicago. You can find out more at their Facebook page. Their website is still being under construction, being worked on. But yes, the Facebook, if you type in SAKAL, the center, and that's in Chicago, you should get the Facebook page. And maybe you want to make a donation or certainly be in prayer of the great work that Pastor Dion Hunt is doing. And who knows, maybe I can get him back to talk some more about community engagement and the three voices, or maybe I'll have him for my ministry leaders network luncheon in the coming days, because I think he has a message for all of us, whether you serve as the pastor, the elder, the deacon in the church, or the influence that you can have on the community by loving on those in need, by reaching out and extending care and compassion, or buying someone a meal, or providing food or clothing or other necessities. There are needs that the Lord would want us to meet, and we are the hands and the feet of the Lord. So take to heart today's broadcast, and may you be equipped today to go into all your world, preach the good news, but also do it with extending care and compassion. Well, thank you, Pastor Dion Hunt, for being available for today. And I will be praying up your ministry and look forward to this relationship. And listening, friend, I do hope that you'll be praying for his ministry and the impact that we can all have as we go into our worlds this very day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Dion Hunt with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.